Holy God, we ask today that you nourish us with your good word. We are hungry to be filled with your spirit. Open our hearts and minds today as we hear your word proclaimed, and fill us with the burning light of your love so that we can be more faithful disciples of Christ and stewards of your creation. Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Sinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our New Testament lesson today is from Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what God spoke through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
A few times in my life, I have found myself in conversation with someone who shares my native language, and somehow, at some point in that conversation, a breakdown in communication happens, and neither of us can understand a single word the other one is saying. Even though the speech is plain English, it's as if the words that come out are mere sounds with no comprehensible meaning, and all we can give back to one another are blank stares. One of us will try and try again to explain what we mean, either in the same words over and over or in different ones. And we don't even really ask questions because we aren't sure where we failed to understand in the first place. And once the silent staring becomes almost unbearable, we finally agree to move on to a different topic of conversation to avoid more awkwardness and wheel spinning. I have had this type of experience both with people I know well and people I have just met. So I'm curious, have any of you ever experienced something similar? That's actually really affirming. This is a common experience for many of us, whether we are speaking to someone in our native language or someone who speaks a different language than we know. It can occur because we are tired, because we are distracted, because there's too much noise, or just because we didn't understand the first time. And this kind of disconnect can be the quickest way to reach a misunderstanding, or start an argument, or even create a sense of animosity if we're not careful. Today we heard two stories, the Tower of Babel and Pentecost. And the story of Pentecost often gets interpreted as the reversal of Babel, bringing together a people once dispersed to speak a common language. This interpretation frequently hinges on the idea that the dispersion and creation of different languages in Babel was a form of punishment for the people. This morning, though, I want to explore a different interpretation with you. I want to explore what these passages, especially when read together, reveal to us about God. Because through these texts, we see how God works in the world, which gives us a window into God's desires for the world and can inspire us how to live together in community. An important revelation of the Pentecost story is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Full stop. The Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, sons, daughters, young, old, rich, and poor. It is a gift given to each person with no condition. It excludes no one, even as the Spirit seeks to unify. And as it does so, it does not simply reverse the diversity of language we see created in the story of Babel. Rather, it offers a bridge of understanding. In the Pentecost story, they were not speaking the same language, nor did they go back to the way of Babel where the whole earth had one language and the same words. They were speaking and understanding the languages of the nations, a beautiful uniting of the languages through the Spirit. And I can imagine how this offered a much richer way of connecting with one another than having the same language. As we learned earlier and all have experienced, the same language doesn't always guarantee understanding. One of my favorite words happens to be in a language not my own. And there is no direct translation into English. It is the Dutch word, gezellig. Pardon my pronunciation, I have never perfected it. But essentially, this word describes a state of being, a sense of coziness and comfort around those you trust and those you love. A beautiful and desired feeling all packed into one non-English word. And it was this word that allowed me to connect with a complete stranger, create a sense of safety for this stranger, a sense of gezellig, so that they could share intimate stories with me of a lost loved one that they were grieving. It is experiences like that, especially when I think of them in context of Pentecost and Babel, that open my eyes to the idea that God's design for the world is indeed diversity. God's aspiration for the world, the new creation, is a tapestry of difference, woven together to make a beautiful scene. The colors of the flowers, the stripes of a zebra, the markings on a dog or a cat, the color of our skin, the languages we speak and the music we make, all created diversely in the image of God, all reflections of God. As we live in community and open our eyes to the world around us, we see that God is diversity. And diversity is God in the world. One single identity does not itself reflect God's nature, image, or way. Just as God is revealed to us through many different sources and texts and experiences, it is only through all identities coming together in community, like a colorful stained glass window, that the light of God's image is revealed to us. Although beautiful, diversity can be scary. Often we see differences as divisions and destroyers of unity. We become afraid of what we don't know or understand. And so we are tempted to surround ourselves with the familiar, rooting out difference in the name of comfort and commonality. In the name of unity, we instead seek uniformity, which runs counter to God's vision for thriving, diverse life and creative expression. We talk about unity a lot in the church. In Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no man or woman. The hymns we sing note that in Christ, there is no East or West. In practice, though, with our fears and our uncertainties often at the front of our mind, true unity seems out of reach. This is where the inbreaking Holy Spirit meets us. revealing God's purpose for humanity and bringing about understanding amidst the difference. In our Pentecost story, we see, as one commentary states, a cacophony of voices that become a symphony of praise to God. Babel becomes clear communication, and community is fashioned from potential adversaries who might otherwise be misunderstood, feared, or even hated. The Spirit, through bridges of diversity, invites us into relationship with God and one another. The Spirit turns differences with one another into invitations for engagement and relationship, to speak and to listen, and to really hear what another person is saying. Differences are an invitation to come together, to learn a new language, to make and share experiences, and to help heal a divided world. One of my first times out of the country, I traveled to Peru for the United Nations Convention on Climate Change. When I got there, I spoke about 5 words of Spanish that I remembered learning in high school. And I did make an effort to at least greet those I met in their native tongue. But for the most part, I relied heavily on the kindness of strangers and the discussions with bilingual folks who helped me maneuver around the country on my own. The highlight of my trip occurred at Machu Picchu. And believe it or not, this is only in part due to the wonder itself. The other reason this is such a highlight for me is because of what happened on my journey back down from the mountain. I had boarded the train, tired from a long day, and it was packed, leaving only one open seat and a booth with what appeared to be 3 women traveling together. I, the introvert, was not super happy with that. But I sat quietly in the booth, keeping to myself, looking out the window at the sights, averting gaze, all the things introverts do in a social situation. After a while on the train, I noticed that the women had been trying to engage with me. It took me a while to notice because, as we all quickly learned, we didn't share a common language. The women spoke Portuguese and Spanish, and I only spoke English. A conversation seemed impossible, and it would have been really easy for either of us to give up and return to silence. Well, they were persistent and were looking for ways to communicate, so I joined them in their exploration. After a while, we had found the handful of shared words that we all knew, including my 5 words of Spanish and their 3 words of English. But mostly, we communicated through charades and Pictionary. And before I knew it, we had a whole conversation about how I was traveling alone but wasn't scared because everyone was so nice, about how they would be scared to do the same, about how they were all taking a much-needed family vacation, about how Machu Picchu was so amazing. But I didn't realize that you could get a passport stamp while you were there, and many other things. Well, one of the women, who spoke only Portuguese, just happened to get an extra stamp while she was at Machu Picchu. And through her compassion, realizing that I was a little bummed that I did not get one, she gifted it to me. I still have this stamp, and I cherish it as a reminder of this fond interaction between total strangers with no common language to speak of. To this day, this was one of the most meaningful interactions I have ever had. The display of sheer human kindness between strangers who saw difference and leaned into that difference to make a connection all out of desire for community. And I wonder, was the reason we could understand each other so well the Spirit? Or just all those years of playing gestures as a kid? I like to think it's a bit of both. Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, does not always arrive in laughter between traveling women on a train. And in the Pentecost story, it is not a gentle floating down of the Spirit. It is described as a violent gust of wind, as of fire, and it forged a new community. A new community that is uniquely unified and commonly diverse. Rather than forging one language, Pentecost gives people a way to speak the languages of the world, to reach across division lines and barriers we ourselves often reinforce, to engage with one another in relationship, revealing that the love of God is broader than the measures of our own minds. No matter how different we are, or how little we understand each other at first, the Holy Spirit is always calling us together to listen, to learn, and above all, to love, honoring the image of God in all of creation, including the wonderfully diverse humankind. May it be so.